James chapter 5, for our sermon text this morning, James chapter 5, beginning on the 13th verse, we'll be reading through verse 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Let us pray for illumination as we approach this text of Scripture on this holy Lord's Day. Our Father and God, we thank you for the word that you have given us. Thus far, of course, as a series of James is rounding the bend to end. Yet, Lord, there's a lot more to be said here in these last verses of chapter 5. We ask for your help. Illuminate our hearts and minds. We ask in Jesus' holy name. We ask for great understanding and insight into these words. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, here we are getting closer to the end of our series here in the book of James. And we see this, is anyone among you suffering? Now, that's a question mark in your text, you should see. In the KJV, you're going to see the word afflicted. Who isn't afflicted with some form of something? So we're going to see a lot of this. He really lays a whole plethora, if you will, of words and questions here that apply to everybody at some point in our lives. So we're prayer and faith, prayer and faith. So the Christian life, in just a quick introduction before we get into the introduction to this text today, is that prayer and faith is the Christian life. We pray because we have faith. By faith, we pray. That's it. There's no other way. We either are in Christ Jesus or we're not in Christ Jesus. Many people think there's this neutrality where they can sit on the fence. Well, Jesus knocked that person right off the fence when he said, you can't have it both ways. You're either in or you're out. You can't sit in the middle. We hear people say this sometimes in a witnessing context, or just people say, it's not that I don't believe in God, I'm just not ready to do anything with Him. I want to do it my way for a season, and then I'll get God involved in my life. Recently, I heard a line from a movie where an older sheriff said, I just thought at some point God would show up in my life, and then he said he didn't. Said he didn't. That was a very poignant line, isn't it? He was waiting because he thought just someday as he got older, God would show up, and he didn't. Well, that's not how it works, right? And so we see the gross impatience of man. We see the gross impatience of people. How do we deal with things? By prayer and faith. Now, Christians, what you have to ask yourself this morning, is that not enough? Is that not enough? I'm going to show you a text of Scripture in 1 John in a few minutes if I get there. I think I'll get there this morning. Is it not enough that we can pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son? If that's not good enough, then guess what? Too bad, so sad. It means you're not understanding. It means we're not applying the Word of God to our lives. That's it. And it only gets better because when we're out of these bodies of death, these tents of which we reside in, these temples of the Holy Spirit, if it's not good enough, then listen, we're going to go right into glory, and it's going to be so freeing and wonderful as we enter eternity. All of our loved ones who knew Jesus Christ, all of the people we know who know Jesus Christ, who went to be with Him, are now pain-free, anxiety-free. There's nothing bothering them other than there's nothing bothering them at all. They're only in the praise and glorious heavenly sight of Jesus, the Savior, who saved them. Do you see that this morning? So is not prayer and faith good enough? Yes, it is. And James is coming to this close to show us that this is the way it is. If you just look back at chapter 1, And we see the very first words that he lays on us, if you will, where he says, in verse 2, he says this. You remember this from a while back and very poignant to what he's talking about? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now he's talking about being afflicted in chapter 5, verse 13. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God has a design. God's design is that we would be holy, wrapped in the robe of Christ's righteousness, and that we would obey Him and understand that there's a purpose in everything we go through. Did we not just see the end of Job chapter 42? That God had a plan for Job. And if it's God's plan, it can't be changed. 10 children added to his life, 140 years extended. It's an amazing thing to think about, the faithfulness of God. Well, I'm reminded of one of the most godly men that I've ever known in my lifetime, and he was a Lutheran minister who served in a church for 50 years. Now, listen closely here. He was always proclaiming the gospel wherever he went. He had the gift of evangelism. He had the gift of bringing the gospel into any conversation. He had the gift to bring it up in almost every conversation. Some years ago, when he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, he's gone on to be with the Lord. And yes, he's a Christian and has a very serious deal. He had a very debilitating disease. I watched it. I watched the transitions. I watched the different stages of this disease that is incurable, really. Where it was first diagnosed, there was he could still drive a car, although that was scary when I was in the car with him. But it got so bad, but one of the most sad conversations, talk about being afflicted, talk about being in a situation where prayer and faith are the only thing you have. When it got advanced, and one of the most sad conversations that I shared with this man was when the disease started to advance and he was unable to sleep or stay focused for more than 45 minutes a day. He told me he only had clarity for 45 minutes a day. Can you imagine living your life with 45 minutes as a pocket where you could actually think straight? And the rest was chaos. He then went on to tell me that how he would pace around the house in the middle of the night as this was all he could do, was pace around to try to keep, really, his sanity. And I know this for sure, the one thing he did was pray to his God, our God. And James today is making the point known to all that in good times and bad we pray. Not just when we feel good, but when it's bad. The Christian does not, verse 13, we hear this again. Is anyone among you afflicted? Afflicted? Can you imagine this question not being to say, oh, no, I'm not afflicted. Who isn't afflicted with something? Any one of us could walk out of here today and get a headache. Some more severe than others. Some could get very sick. Some could fall down and hurt themselves. Some could take a phone call from a loved one and be wounded from what they've said to you on the phone. Is anyone among you afflicted, suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now, the Christian does not always live on a mountaintop of faith. Although Paul instructs the believer in Paul's writings always to rejoice always, and that's from Philippians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. The simple fact of life is that from time to time the believer is in, now listen closely, is in trouble. Trouble. Troubled in your mind, troubled in your thinking. Trouble can come in many different forms. It may be physical. We don't deny that. It may be mental. Personal, financial, spiritual, or religious. Are these the afflictions that we feel? Of course. For instance, if one is experiencing mental depression, it's a very real thing. It is difficult for that one to be joyful. It's hard for them to even work up any type of positive language. People that suffer with severe depression can't even get themselves out of bed. The great Jonathan Edwards, some call him the greatest American theologian, his wife, for almost, I think it was over a year, was in her bed with what they called melancholy. She wasn't able to pull it together. She was afflicted. But did she lose her faith? No. She came out of it. But was it real? Yes. So is any one of you afflicted? Yes, she was. Therefore, James counsels us to pray. To pray. Again, here's this prayer and faith. What he is doing in this verse is urging us to seek God in prayer for strength. And Peter said that we should cast all of our anxiety on him because he cares for us. Are we casting our... You know, this is a favorite verse for people. I'm casting... Are you really casting your anxieties upon the Lord? Again, a challenge for all of us as Christians. Where else are you going to cast it? There's no other hole you can cast it into or some reservoir that's going to work or help you out. We can only cast our cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ, for he cares for us. He says, come to me, all you who are what? Troubled and laden with burdens. I give you what? Peace and rest. This is the Christ. And it's not just when everything's perfect. Cast all of your anxiety in him, for he cares for you. Paul, in many places, exhorts us to pray continuously. So in 1 Thessalonians, we see that verse. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Pray without ceasing. Well, what does that mean, pray without ceasing? Well, what's being said here in the Greek term is that all of our lives should be praying without interruption. Keep in mind that prayer is the link that keeps us in touch with the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And let me make one more comment on the idea of praying without ceasing. No one's telling you to walk around like this, looking to the heavens and falling and stumbling, as if you have to be so super spiritual looking. No, we can pray all day and we really can do it. It's called communion with God. Now, why during the day do we think that has to break somehow? Why do we have to think, I'm saying we don't have to think this way, but why do people think, well, I'm going to compartmentalize my Christian walk. I'm going to read the Word in the morning for 10 minutes, and the rest of the other day, I'm just going to do everything I have to do, and then I'm going to wonder why I'm stressed at night and I can barely fall asleep because all I can do is think about everything that happened during the day. Why are we not casting and trusting God in every turn? Again, what's the alternative, Christians? Well, the alternative is chaos. The alternative is called sin. But let me make one more comment about this. The first thing is to recognize that we are most blessed among men, that we can even approach the living God. Take your Bibles and just turn over just a little bit to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Now listen to these words. This is amazing. 1 John chapter 1. And this, of course, is the Apostle John testifying of knowing Christ, being with Jesus, handling Christ. Well, listen what it said here. In verse 1 of 1 John chapter 1, we hear this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. You see, he's seen Christ with his eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the Christ, concerning the word of life. Verse 2 says, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you that you also may have fellowship. Now listen closely. What he's declaring to us in this sacred scripture is that we may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You see what the apostle is doing there? He's telling you that we have fellowship with God the Father, the creator of the universe. We talk freely to God with a total open. When Jesus died on the cross and said, "It's finished," the veil was rent in two and the Holy of Holies was opened up to us. The throne of grace was at our disposal anytime we want it. And then we have to say to ourselves, "Oh, what? Oh, what peace we forfeit when we do not bring everything to the Lord in prayer." Because we still fall back on our autonomy, on our own calculating of our minds, where we say to ourselves, "I'll figure this one out, Lord." Now, you may not say it that way, but that's what you're saying. "Lord, I've got this one. I'll pray about what's important." And so we see that we fellowship with God the Father. This in and of itself is mind-boggling to me, that I can actually talk to the creator of the universe. And as we know, we can do this only, singularly, truly, particularly, only through the mediator, Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and life. And this is how one may successfully pray without ceasing, because we talk to God all the time. We should. Communion with God at all times. See, this is the big wrestling match that we have. We don't communicate with God at all times because we take it upon ourselves to deal with our problems without thinking about God. And if that's real sin, and real particular sin, as our confession calls it, that's the problem. We're the problem. God's not the problem. It's not that He's not answering our prayers. We're not even going to Him with our problems. Again, we're compartmentalizing our lives as if this is not what we need to do now all the time. And this is what James is talking about. If you're suffering, if you're afflicted. And then he goes on and he says, Is anyone cheerful? And this is the other question that James asks to the people of God. If the answer is yes, if you're cheerful and you're having a good day, so to speak, then praise the Lord. What are you waiting for? What are we as Christians? If you're having a good day, why would you wait to praise Him and thank Him for that? He's a good God. And there's no doubt that when the sunshine of God's favor rests upon us, we are filled. We are filled with cheerfulness and happiness. And this is the time that James says to sing praises to our Lord. It is by no means the only time. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 30, because we're going to look at it. Because we really want to get into this idea of what he's telling us to do these things in the midst of any type of way. And I hesitate a little bit to use the way that we feel, but what we're going through. And the key is to keep our joy and happiness within proper bounds. You know, there's a movie that came out some years ago with an actor named Nick Nolte, and I don't know if you ever saw it, but it's one of those kind of movies that I tend to lean into a bit because it's so real and exposes the sin nature of man. And the name of the movie is Afflicted. And it's about a man who is... It comes from an abusive home. His father was an abuser, all these things. But nothing in this guy's life was Christian. He didn't know he could call upon God the Father. He didn't know that Jesus Christ could or maybe be his Savior, right? And the chaos in his life was just reflective of his unbelief. And he was afflicted. Do you see the depressing thing about that? He had no way of escape. People walk around miserable all the time because they don't have any way of escape. Can you imagine not knowing Jesus the Christ and speaking to God the Father about everything you're going through? They don't have that. Because just like the Scriptures teach us, they're dead in their sins and trespasses. They're blind. They don't know God. And what we need to understand is that we are born again. They are not. They cannot see it. nor do they want to. But Psalm 30 says this, and just listen to it. Listen to the Word of God here. It gives us more encouragement as we look at this. Psalm 30 says this, beginning in the first verse. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Now, if you just read the first four verses there, are we doing that? For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what comes in the morning? Joy. Joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made a supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. Verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Do you see this? You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you for how long? How long should we give thanks to God? Forever. Now, some people would say, well, no, I'm only going to give thanks to God when I get what I want. There are things you may ask for in this lifetime you will never receive. Why? I'll give you the reason. I'll give you the answer. It's very easy. God doesn't want you to have it. End of discussion. It's like the old thing our parents would say to us. How come I can't do that? Because I said so. And what came next? Argument upon argument. But you never do this for me. You never do that for me. Oh, my goodness, the misery I live. Oh, meanwhile, can I have a snack? Meanwhile, can I have something to eat? You promised I could watch my favorite show. The misery of children, right? And yet, to our own shame, we act the same way. But forever. Now there's a psalm we can read and say, here, this is what James is getting at. The key to keep our joy and happiness within proper bounds. What does proper bounds mean? It means that we are to always give God the glory and honor and praise that is due to him and him alone. Look at Colossians chapter 3 later on, chapter 3 later on, verses 15 and 16. I won't read that this morning, but we are to give him the glory. And this question again from verse 13, is anyone among you afflicted? Calvin says this. He means that there is no time in which God does not invite us to himself. What does that mean? There's never a time that we're not invited to talk to God and speak to God and ask for God to deliver us from the thing we're going through. I think one of the easiest things to pick on in my own life, and I think it applies to all Christians, is when you get a common sore throat, maybe a tickle in the back of your throat, and you whip up a quick prayer and say, oh God, heal my throat. I feel a cold coming on. 2 days later, the tickle's gone, the throat feels fine, and we forgot we asked God to take it from us. And we don't praise him for that deliverance. It's just that didn't matter. Oh, but if I had cancer racked in my body, right? If I had cancer and I was healed of cancer, what? I would be expected to praise and praise him. You see what I'm saying? How we trivialize everything that we do? Careful, Christians. God answers our prayers and we need to remember. But because of our frailty and the way that our minds work, we forget things like that. For afflictions, Calvin says, ought to stimulate. Listen closely. For afflictions ought to stimulate us to pray. not go off on a tangent, not to go off on what we see as the right way, only one right way, speak to God. Prosperity supplies us with an occasion to praise God. If we have much, we praise God. But such is the perverseness of men that they cannot rejoice without forgetting God. And that when afflicted, they are disheartened and driven to despair. Now, why would we be driven to despair? We know God. We're in Christ Jesus. Why are we in despair? We ought then to keep within due bounds so that the joy, which usually makes us to forget God, may induce us to set forth the goodness of God, and that our sorrow may teach us to pray. You see that? If you're in sorrow, we pray. If you're afflicted, you pray. If you're in a good situation, we praise. For he has set the singing of psalms in opposition to the profane and unbridled joy. And thus they express their joy who are led as they ought to be by prosperity to God. Christians, this is amazing. As James starts at the beginning, we went back and looked at chapter 1, that if you fall into these things, count it all joy. Does that not sound strange? Well, we have to, because we're pilgrims passing through. Again, verse 13. Is anyone among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. 14 then says, is anyone among you sick? Now we're talking about an actual ailment, an actual real sickness in our bodies. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So there's things that we should do in the church of Jesus Christ that are what? For the body, for those in Jesus. You see all these things that are being mentioned here, and I'm not going to get into all this today. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. There's so much information here, but it's talking about prayer and praise and what? Faith! In short, then, as we close out today, we ought to be prayerfully, listen closely, we ought to be prayerfully, that's praying, patient in adversity, for patience in adversity, and thankfully happy in prosperity. So we have this process by which we're hurting, we're afflicted, we pray. When things are going well and we recognize God prospering us, we praise him and we thank him. Neither one forgets God. Neither one puts God over here and we forget about him. Both have God completely in the center of everything that we're involved with. I think one of the things we recognize, and I would say we're all very thankful for it, but I think one of the things we could accuse ourselves of being taking things for granted is the very meals we put into our mouths. The food we eat, which nourishes our bodies. Thank you, God, for what you've given us. You feed me. You give me nourishment. How many of you get hungry during the day? What happens? You go to the cupboard, go to the restaurant, whatever, right? Cook a meal, tastes good, you're full. Bueno contento, right? Put yourself away from the table. How about Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving was a time of feasting. When I was young, you put so much down your throat, I couldn't hardly breathe afterwards. I hate that feeling now. I don't like that gluttonous feeling. I'm just calling it what it is. I like to go easy. You ended up on a couch somewhere passing out. You know, you just couldn't. Too much blood to the gut. But nevertheless, he feeds us. He clothes us. He takes care of the birds in the air. Everything's in order. If you're afflicted, if you're cheerful, James gives us this answer. So then just to recap, what else are you supposed to do? if this isn't good enough, what else are you going to do? I really want to hear from anybody, not just here today, an alternative to this. None of them would work, I can already tell you that. Because this is the only way, Jesus. When my daughter passed away, and I did her memorial service, a man at the service said to me, "I don't know how you do it." Now, I'm not saying this as a puff up. Do you know what I said to him? Jesus. Now, was I being super spiritual? No, because Jesus is it. I can't do it. I can't uphold myself and be sustained. Only Christ can sustain me, and I know that. So when the question was asked, the only thing I could say is Jesus. That's it. Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Deliverer, the one who paid the price for all that I've gone through, you've gone through, and as He carries us through all the way into eternity where He said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you will have this place that's so glorious." And when we get there, we're going to be amazed in a holy amazement with no sin involved in it. No weeping, no tears, no afflictions. Well, we're going to move on as we look further in the rest of this book. But prayer, remember this week, prayer and faith. Quiet our minds and say, "Jesus, I'm losing it. I'm coming undone. Tell me, help me what to do." And very shortly, you'll come back to the very center and say, "Only thing I can do is trust Jesus. And I'm going to cast everything on Him, for He cares for me." That's our Savior. Let's pray together. Father and our God, we thank You that You have given us the Son by which we have pure fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Oh God, our Father, we thank You for how You've given us this truth, and how we truly are filled with the Holy Spirit who reveals these great truths to us by Thy sacred, divinely inspired word. Be with us now as we go forth in the service. In Jesus' holy name, amen.